You're listening to Stateside. I'm Laura Weber Davis, sitting in for April Baer. The U.S. Senate unanimously approved a COVID-19 relief package last night that was greater than $2 trillion. The House is expected to vote on the package tomorrow and send it to President Trump's desk. Here to talk about what she sees in the relief measure is Congresswoman Haley Stevens, who joins us from her office in Washington, D.C. Rep. Stevens, welcome.
Well, thank you so much. Great to be with you, Laura.
So did you fly back to D.C. or did you drive?
I actually drove through the night. I drove through the night with my significant other and two dogs, and the roads were great. We hit a little bit of fog on that Pennsylvania turnpike, but it was actually a really inspiring journey to go from southeastern Michigan through northeastern Ohio. I drove also because I just decided to get on the road and get out here. We saw the Senate was passing the bill, and my constituents have been asking me about this, and I'm just so eager and ready to get to work for them.
Let's talk a little bit about the relief package that was passed by the Senate. Hundreds of billions of dollars for loan programs for small businesses and corporations. Also, lots of money going toward individuals and workers. What do you think of the overall package? There's a lot in there to digest.
Well, look, I served in the United States Department of the Treasury from 2009 to 2011 during another time of great economic uncertainty. Parallels, but different in the sense that that crisis was driven by financial market insecurity,
right.
And this crisis is driven by a lack of demand and lack of supply in our economy, given the need to social distance in the age of COVID. So, this bill secures the critical industrial assets of this nation. It is not a bailout. Let me repeat, this bill is not a bailout. It is Federal Reserve guarantees to critical assets, and we're so proud, and we got to thank Debbie Dingell and Andy Levin, people who were up late and working around the clock to make sure the complexity of this was understood. And look, we've got a good deal that does that, that sees us through to the other side of this. And a lot of partners played a big role, and certainly the workers were front of mind for us too, because your heart breaks a little bit just thinking about all these amazing businesses being shuttered. At the same time, Laura, what are we dealing with, right? Why is this shutdown happening? It's because we've got a medical crisis taking place with this pandemic. Real lives are on the line, our hospitals are being taxed, and that's another core component to this bill, which is securing the assets and the functionality for our hospitals. And then lastly, because city and state revenue is driven by consumer activity largely, and that's going down the tubes, and our cities and our states are being taxed in ways that they could have never imagined, this legislation also secures them. This legislation was bipartisan. It was masterful. Was it always pretty? No. But is negotiating with 500 people easy? No. But we've got something really good. It passed the Senate last night. It was a great vote. It's over here in the House. We're going to be taking it up on Friday. And I am here today to ensure that this passes so we get the needs for Michiganders. And we're going to lead the way here.
Before I let you go, Cranes reported late yesterday that COVID-19 is expanding faster in Detroit than in most parts of the country. And Michigan really isn't that far behind, with the exception of New York, isn't far behind California or Washington states, which have also seen large outbreaks. Are you nervous about where Michigan is sitting in this overall expansion of this disease?
I'll say I've been briefed by our governor, who is a remarkable leader, who's really stepping up to this moment in just a tremendous way, in a responsible way for our state. And she did inform us that we are a hotspot right now, that we in southeastern Michigan are number you know, four or five in terms of the proliferation of this disease. It is absolutely essential that people take the stay home, stay safe executive order very seriously. It was written very carefully and explicitly. And so the rules are available on the Michigan's state website for the coronavirus. I'll say this, this disease, this pandemic that we are in has swept the world in less than a fiscal quarter. This disease is proliferating in ways that we don't yet fully understand. And I say that with the full confidence of the record behind me and some of the briefings from the CDC. There's patterns that it stays on, stays around a little bit longer, and that's why the social distancing and some of the measures have come into place. But the best, there's hope. The best and brightest in America are working on the treatment and a cure. And we are in a race for that, and that is a race and a charge that I believe our country is fully stepped up and prepared to meet. I do think that when we flatten the curve, when we come out on the other side of that, and you're starting to see that in Europe. So part of this is, yeah, we're going to hit our peak, and then we're going to go down. And so everyone's got to think about this as a little bit of turbulence, right?
Yep.
And just limit your news exposure, focus on things that make you happy, remember, you know,
and
some of the
inside.
Basics.
And
yeah,
stay
exactly.
inside.
And stay inside. Stay inside, yes.
That's Rep. Haley Stevens is joining us from her office in Washington. Rep. Stevens, thank you so much.
Thank you.